Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, wherefore, now, you know, I hate this rule, but it is a real rule. It's in Bible interpretation. When you see wherefore, you got to find out what it is therefore. And, I mean, it sounds a little cliche, but it's true. When you see wherefore, you got to find out why it is therefore. So we're going to find out in a few minutes, but it says, wherefore, lift up thy hands which hang down low and thy feeble knees. Is that not the church today? Walking around diabetic. We just don't know. We can't walk in the power of God. Power of God scares people. It does. You want to know what it does? It scares the hell out of them. That's exactly what the power of God does. It scares the hell out of people and replaces it with the goodness of God. The world is looking for something real and not this whole... And if that's what church you go to, that's fine. If that's for you, but it ain't for everybody. The world is looking for something that is real. And so the church needs to stop being weak and feeble-kneed. Can I tell you, it is a decision of the church to be so weak. Where are we? I don't even know. Verse 12. Now jump with me, Hebrews 12 and 1. Jump to verse 1 for me. Okay, and then we have another wherefore, so we got to find out what it is. Therefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great of a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run our race with patience. Are you ready for the definition of patience? The capability to accept, tolerate delays, trouble, suffering without getting angry or upset. I'm preaching to myself this morning. To run with patience means to not get angry or upset at delays, trouble, suffering. We should be able to see these things, know where they come from, and not let affect us. I'm not saying you're never going to get angry. There is righteous anger at things. But this is not that righteous anger that we're talking about. We're talking about not living a life of being angry. Or angry at a group of people. Or a race of people. Or the way people dress. Oh, Lord. I'm getting on some things. And I was not saying don't be smart. It's just saying we don't allow things to cause us to get off track.
Right.
And if you look at this world, it can cause you to get off track.
Right.
If you focus, it can cause you to get off track. You will be like Peter who stepped out on the water. If we're not focusing on our answer, if we're not focusing on Jesus, we'll drown
right.
in the
yes.
same
yes.
thing that we have the power to walk on top of.
Right.
Hello, somebody.
Come on.
So run with patience the race that is the race that is set before you. I need to look up here so I don't have to bend down. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This is what's great. When someone wrote your story, you're not in charge of the end. Now, you do the work. You put your hands to the plow, but you're on a destiny. You got to do something. Hello? I'm trying to remember. I heard this statement recently, and I'm trying to remember what it is. It says that destiny is liquid, but, it slipped me. But basically what it means is destiny's liquid. It's there for you, but getting there is in the hands of mankind. And so God has a destiny for you, but you fulfilling it is in your hands. When you put your hands to the plow, the author and the finisher of your faith, he wrote the book. All you got to do is read it. And walk it out exactly as God has written it. Now, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Oh, I've heard so many preachers preach on the joy that was set before him and they missed it. They missed it. They preach that the joy that set before him was getting back to heaven. Hallelujah. He suffered so much pain, but he was looking at the joy that was set before him. Hallelujah. It was getting to heaven and sitting on the right hand of the Father. Getting back out of this nasty, sinful skin and getting into heaven where he will live forever. Hallelujah. What was the joy that was set before him? We were the joy that was set before Him. The reason He endured the cross was because your face was set before Him. He willingly gave His life so that you could be sons and daughters of Christ. It was not a position in heaven. That position was always His. He never left the position. He was on earth in that position. He was God and man together. He never lost His God sonship. The joy that was set before Him was knowing that in His death, and the seed that He was going to sow, the Bible tells us, no greater love does a man have for another than he lay his life down for them. So Jesus offered His life as a seed so He could reap brothers and sisters, and God Himself could have sons and daughters in the body of Christ. Despising the shame, and it is set down, He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know where Jesus is right now? Yes, He's in your heart. Yes, He lives with you. But He's sitting down at the right-hand side of the Father. Why did He sit down? His job was done. And He passed on a job to you and me.
Yes, He did.
But God needs to get up and do something. He died on the cross. And gave you the power. And the Holy Spirit came and lived on the inside of you. What more do you need? Oh, my goodness. God is not nervous.
Yes.
You know, the stuff that makes us nervous, God is sitting on the throne. There's never a moment that God, Jesus looks over to God the Son, looks over to God the Father and says, hey, Tim, he was taken off guard there. You know, I didn't see that coming. Did you, Lord? And God doesn't look at Jesus and say, no, we better get a plan. It doesn't take God off guard.
Right.
And so there is a plan, and if you're facing something, there is a way out.
Yes.
Aren't you thankful?
Amen. Amen.
Verse 3.
Thank you.
For considering Him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Let me just tell y'all, I need glasses. Okay, so that's why I'm leaning so close to my device here. And all of this, I want to read that last part again. He endured all these things, lest ye be weary in faith in your minds. Can I tell you this? He gave you the power. Whenever I hear He gave you the power, you may think of a lot of things. That song, I Got the Power, that does come to mind. But my favorite is With the Power of Grayskull. Is that what he shouted out? He-Man, where he gets the sword and he sticks it straight up, and then all these colors go about, and he gets the power of Grayskull, and then this lion, I think he has a cat, and then it transforms, and he gets on top of it, and he's riding with his sword in the air. That's what always comes across my mind when I hear, got power. And so, I don't know if that will help you or hinder you. I don't know what it's going to do. But when Jesus went to the cross, He gave you the Holy Spirit so that you would not be weary, so that you would not faint in your minds. Can I tell you something? The biggest battle is not in the flesh. It's not one-to-one. It's not in combat. The reason we faint, the reason we get weary is because of our minds. We get worrying about the news. We get worrying about everything that's going on. The plagues, the pestilence, the floods, the trials, the tribulations, the nation, the economy. We get worried about all these things, and not that it never affects us, but the battle is in the mind.
Yeah.
And if we can conquer the mind,
amen,
we will not faint and we will not get weary. The cool thing and the great thing about it is that when Jesus went to the cross, He knew the Holy Spirit was coming. That's one of the reasons He went gladly, is because He knew that His brothers and sisters, the sons of God, would get the Holy Spirit on the inside of them so that their mind would not fail them, so that they would not get weary in well-doing, that they would be able to walk in the grace and the anointing and the power of Jesus. And they would not quit.
That's right.
And they would not give up.
That's right.
Because all of a sudden they have the anointing. They have the grace.
Right.
And they have the mercy to do what they're called to do.
Right.
Holy Lord Jesus. Somebody needs to praise the Lord right now. Oh, we will not get weary. We will not faint. We will not quit. My Lord, my Lord. Have you ever met somebody that quit? Maybe you've been the person that quit. God has given us unstoppable grace.
Yes. Yes.
Unquenchable, unstoppable anointing.
Yes. Yes.
God has given us the power to patiently endure.
Amen.
What that means is when something goes off track, it doesn't get us off track. Because the enemy will try to make you focus on other things.
Yes.
He'll use people.
Yes.
Unsaved people.
Yes.
Family people.
Yes.
Oh. Thanksgiving, y'all. Thanksgiving. Somebody asked me, my family drives me nuts. Do I have to go? Go for an hour. Just go for an hour. Be like, hey, I'm coming over. I only got an hour. The rest of the kids are going to show up. And then say in your mind, that's about all I can handle y'all for. Show up if that's what you, but if you don't show up. I don't care. It ain't my family. The enemy will use people to try to discourage you and get you off track. Even godly people, he will use the words that somebody said something. Maybe they meant it, maybe they really didn't. But he will use the words of your brothers and sisters in Christ to try to destroy you.
Yep.
I've got told all kinds of crazy things. I got, recently talking to somebody and they, we disagreed on a topic. We disagreed on a subject. And this is their answer. Are you ready for this? Well, brother, it's just because you're not married to Jesus like I am. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know what? You don't throw pearls before swine, do you?
That's right.
I ain't calling them a pig. Just let it fall where it falls. But my statement was, bless you.
Yes.
And got up and walked away. And can I just say this out there? There may be Southern people who use God bless your heart to call you stupid, but I ain't one of them. That's ridiculous. I never heard that until I got to the North and I told somebody, God bless your heart. I know what that means. It means bless your heart. Now, I would say it again. I know what that means. I'm like, God, boy, I am so confused. You're calling me stupid. I ain't calling you stupid. You may call yourself that, but I say bless your heart and I mean it.
Yeah.
Now, I could mean it that way, but it would be sarcastic. Yeah. See, that's where people get off. You can't read sarcasm. I'm getting off subject. Let's keep moving forward here. But the thing is, we will never quit. And so if I say bless your heart and I've offended you, God bless you, bless your heart. I do not mean it that way. Now, Hebrews 12 is addressing the Jews. Now, it's addressing a Jewish bunch of believers. Now, these are people who have converted to Christianity who were Jewish. And so all of a sudden, they're under persecution. Now, we're in the United States. We get under persecution. We don't get invited to parties that our friends at work go to because they know we're Christians and they talk about us and they leave us out of things. So sad. I have to drive 45 minutes to church because it's the only one I really like. Such persecution. The media doesn't like us. People, they love the churches who don't believe in the power, but they really get upset about those that do. They hate us. People leave me out of things. The Jews were dying. Their life was being taken away. They stripped them of all their wealth. They tortured them in inhumane ways. This was the pressure that they were facing. And we have to drive in air-conditioned and heated vehicles.
Wow.
To a church 30 or 40 minutes away.
Wow.
Bless our hearts for the persecution that we face.
Yeah.
Now, can I say this too? It is real persecution.
Yeah.
And I make it as a light joke, but some of the things we go through is real persecution
right.
that we face. And we shouldn't beat ourselves up because our brothers and sisters have a lot more worse persecution. We should
right.
just be victorious.
Yeah.
We should be victorious over it because our brothers and sisters are victorious over it. Okay. So, what is going to stop us? Nothing is going to stop us. Now, I don't know what you think of me. It's probably best that way. What was that? I didn't like that. I've had people, some people, like, I looked at my pastor. I will go to my pastor. When I grew up, I thought my pastor was in the cloud of glory, and the only reason he ever came out was to talk to us sinners and, that we didn't measure up to his greatness. I know y'all probably think that about me, too, but why y'all laughing so much? That wasn't funny. So, I remember that. I remember thinking that my pastor was so great and that he never messes up. He's always on top of everything. And, you know, I found out that that wasn't the case. I had a conversation with him where he brought some things up, and I was floored. I didn't think he faced anything. I thought he had victoria and that his walk was without pain, without any contradictions or conflictions, or he didn't have trouble. Him and his wife, you know, they were perfect, like me and mine. Are y'all laughing? Now, and so in all this, you know, I found out that he was a normal man who had struggles and who had temptations, but he lived victoriously. And so should we. But I don't want to burst your bubble about what you think about me, but there are times that I wake up and I think, God, I really don't want to preach today. I do enjoy what I do, as you might be able to tell. I love preaching. It's a part of who I am. It sets me on fire. It pulls my trigger. It lights my fuse. You know, it pulls my string. Whatever you do, it cranks my tractor. I don't know what it is that you say, but it does all these things for me. It pops my clutch. You know what I'm saying? It gets my engine turning. I enjoy what I do, but it's not every day that I feel like standing up, and there's not every Sunday that I feel like bringing a message. And then there's some Sundays. Can I just say this? I know when I hit it out of the park, and I know when I miss it and mess it up, which is very few and far in between, right? And then, you know, oh, bless us. Never say, God, oh, bless him, Lord, he's doing so good. Because then I know I'm just missing it. You're trying to encourage me. But in all this, there are things that I go through and things that I face that I don't always want to do this. And then there are times that I question the abilities that God has placed on the inside of me. Lord, I don't have what it takes. I have said to the Lord, I do not have what it takes to take the church to the next level. I don't know what to do, God. I can't do this. And there's only one time, because I don't really question the... Only once in my life have I questioned if God called me to Madison, Wisconsin. Only once. Only once in 7 years that we've been up and running. Only one time. But that time was devastating. I don't know how people live without hope. Because for a very short period of time, I had no hope that I could do what needed to be done. And I remember the day like it was yesterday. I went into work. It all hit me. And you want to know where it came from? Comparing what I'm doing to what someone else was doing. Yeah. And God tells us not to do that. Amen. This is one of the reasons. I set my head down on my desk and just wept. Wept. And we're like, what am I supposed to do, Lord? Who are you going to send? We can't allow this church to fail. So who are you going to place over it? And how am I going to tell my wife? These were devastating thoughts that crossed my mind. I don't know what to do, Lord. I can't do it. And thankfully, God makes a way of escape. Maybe you've been there where God has told you to do something and you look at it and it seems so overwhelming. And then you think about the people that are involved and what God has for it to do. And can I tell you something? I don't care if you're standing before people or if you're flipping burgers or if you offer your place as Hoofbeat does for us to go and have our chili cook-off that's coming up soon. Who's cooking cornbread? Okay, just making sure. You need that with chili. And maybe somebody bring some jalapenos. I don't know. But, you know, there's people who do these things, and they look at them, and I'm not saying they do, but a lot of people look at it and think, how small of a contribution. Nothing you do for Christ is small. Nothing you do for Christ. When you show up and volunteer, set up and tear down, that is not a small thing. That is one of the largest things you could do. When you volunteer in the nursery, when you volunteer in the children's church, when you come to church faithfully, it is not a small thing. It's huge to the body of Christ. It's huge to the Lord. There's no such thing as doing something small for God. If you think you've done a little thing for God, you have no idea what you've done. And I've heard people say, you know, I've been an encouragement to someone. I just said a word. You may have saved their life. I don't remember the movie, but something like Butterfly Effect, where one little thing rippled through history. Yeah. Maybe that one encouragement is what holds them on 5 years later, and they go back in their heart to that day. Nothing is small that we do. Everything we do is huge. Everything we do is pointed by the Lord. Every statement we speak, every opportunity we give for God to move, every environment that we create in a godly manner is nothing small. It's huge.
Amen.
And so when you feel the pressures of the world, and you feel at work, and you feel in the states and politics and governments and everything that may fit on our shoulders, and I'm telling you, I've prayed a lot, and I really feel I've got direction from the Lord on things that are to come. And there's some things that are going to happen in our nation. Can I tell you one of them? And I don't know how long Jesus is going to tarry. I believe it's going to be soon, honestly. I believe it's coming soon. But if he tarries another 100 years, if he tarries another 500 years, I don't know how long it's going to take. I believe it's in my lifetime. But if it isn't, I'm telling you, there's some things to come. The church is going to be under attack, heavily under our government. It's coming to the United States. Our tax exempt is going to be taken away from us. It's going to be taken away from you as well to claim it on your taxes. It's something that is coming. Yeah. It is something that is coming. I don't know when it's going to come, but it's going to come. There's going to be greater pressure for the churches that divorce God, that step away from God. There's going to be favor. For those who stand on the Word of God, there will be persecution. But are you ready for the good news? In this, we're going to see miracles. We're going to see signs, and we're going to see wonders. And just like the heavenly host, I want to jump to a scripture really quick because we're going to see what's there for, and I'm ending right now. Aren't you excited? Let's turn to Hebrews 11:33, and we're going to see why Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, we are encompassed about so great a cloud of witnesses. Do you know people in heaven watch us? It's like sitting in a stadium. What do they get to see and what do they don't get to see? I don't know. I don't know if you jump in the shower and there's black bars. You know, I have no idea how heaven regulates that. I don't know if they, you know, it's just a blind spot that they can't see. I don't know. But there, I mean, come on, think about this. Am I the only one that thinks heaven watches us? It says right here, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. What do they see? Am I seriously the only one that thought that? Please raise your hand. Thank you. Stop making me feel so weird. My wife does that enough at home. Don't make me feel weird. So there is a great cloud, and they are watching us. It's like a stadium. It's like a football game. But, people are involved in it.
Yes.
So let's find out what they're there for. Hebrews 11:33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms? We're talking about this cloud of witnesses. They have subdued kingdoms.
Wow.
They wrought righteousness. They brought righteousness everywhere they went. They've attained the promise of God. They stopped the mouth of lions. There are those believers that were thrown into the pit to be devoured. There were those believers in the Colosseums thrown out to be devoured. And they just stood there and the lions left them alone. We have, if you read history, we have evidence of this where there's records of them throwing lions at Christians that were going to die and they couldn't get them. So they threw raw meat in there to try to get the lions in a frenzy and fighting each other. And the lions did fight each other. And there were times that the lions killed each other over the beat. And they're trying to get them to kill the Christians that were being persecuted. There were those Christians who stood up. And the events went on. The crowd was not too happy about that who came to watch a death match. They weren't too happy. But it's in historical records that there were those who could not be devoured by lions. 34. Quenched the violence of fire. Couldn't burn them out. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to fight the enemies of the aliens. Now, we're not talking about little Ben coming down. I know, it's very sad. It would have made a great movie. But what it was is alien invaders. People who did not belong there. Oh, do we need this today?
Wow.
35. Women received their dead raised to life again.
Jesus.
This is the power of the church.
Yes.
And to others who were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Those who died and went home made a choice. Whether it was I'm tired or whether it was I'm done fighting. I've ran my race.
Right,
I finished it. Good Lord, I'm ready to go home.
Right.
Whatever it was, they made a decision not to be set free. And then it says they might obtain a better resurrection. There were some that just decided, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go home. I'm done. I'm finished. And can I tell you this? There are times in my life that if Jesus would show up, I've had people say, why did so-and-so die? I don't know. But I tell you what, there are times in my life that if Jesus would have shown up and said, Tim, it's time to go home. Do you want to go? It's your choice. Would you like to go? I can't guarantee you that I would have said, oh, Lord, for all the people, I will stay. Say, like, Lord, I got a life policy. Jesse will be fine. Let's go. There are days that that would have been my decision. So if you've ever heard that Pastor T.L. Sadler has gone home, it is because I have decided to take the better resurrection. I'm done here. Now, can I just go ahead and tell you, I will live and not die and proclaim the works of the Lord? Well, that sounds like a contradiction. Well, no. Life and death is in my mouth. Life and death is in my hand. And I will say, when I get on a plane, I touch the outside of the plane. And I say, I will go to the other side. I don't care if all the engines go out. Angels will hold it up. I'm not going to go out there and try to destroy the engines to prove God's point. But what I am going to do is proclaim that the Lord is my tower. He is my refuge. It is Him that I run to. I look unto the hills. Where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth. Just like me, Shadrach and Abednego, they get to a place. Now, can I just go ahead and start this off? Me, Shadrach and Abednego, that wasn't even the name. The world decided they didn't even like their Jewish name. So they're going to change their name. The world may come up for some names for you. In the past, it has been Holy Roller, Bible Thumper. You know, they say all these things about you. They may change your name, but the matter of that is at hand is the pressure and the heat that they turn up will destroy them before it will destroy me.
Amen. Amen. Yes, yes.
Mm. Y'all missed a great opportunity to really shout.
Come on.
You know,
yes.
I hate to have to train y'all, but sometimes this is what you should do. I hit a point that's really awesome, yes, Lord! Woo! And the standing up was part of it, too, if you missed that.
Right.
Just letting you know. But in this life, we are not walking through this life by ourselves. We are having the Holy Spirit guide and direct us. We have the Lord on the inside of us, and we have a cloud of witnesses. And these witnesses are not only watching, but they are interceding and praying for you. Great-grandma, great-great-grandfather, so-and-so we've never met, that, you know, great-grandma met in heaven, and they're sitting beside each other, and they have your name painted on their belly, and they're standing up, woo! That may be an exaggeration. But they are up there. They are cheering you on. They are watching and they are interceding. Lord, they're seeing the book like Jesus sees the book. They see the beginning from the end. And they look down and say, Lord, there is a stumbling block. We pray and intercede. Lord, give them the strength. Give them the mercy. Give them the understanding of how to get around this. Don't let it stop them, Lord. Keep their mind. Holy Spirit, guide them, direct them, lead them on the path of righteousness, upon the water that is still, into the place that flows with milk and honey.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah. That is where we're going. Let's bow our heads, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much.